Okay, today's daf is Mem Vav. We're going to start at the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Bet, where it's five lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Papa. So we were discussing yesterday about matbea, whether you can use a matbea to do a kinyan chalipin, right? A kinyan of exchange. So can you use a symbolic type of kinyan? Can you use money as a symbolic type of kinyan? So now we're going to talk about, Rav Papa says, afilu leman d'amar e matbea naseh chalipin. Even if you say that you can't use a matbea for a kinyan chalipin. If you remember, we'll review this a little bit today, but we learned it all from this na'al, about the shoe, and it has to be, so the basic is that it has to be a kli, okay, because a shoe is called a kli, like some sort of an object. The question is going to be, can you learn from here also ma'od? That was what we talked about yesterday. Can you say other, like peiro, okay, which are other kind of metaltalim that are not a kli, like an animal or food, okay? Can that be used as a kinyan chalipin? But now the question is going to be something different, which is even if you say that you can't use a matbea to create this kinyan chalipin, mi'avid hu delo avid chalipin, but iknuye miknu b'chalipin. The issue is, and he says you can you acquire money through a kinyan chalipin? Can we do a kinyan with a handkerchief, okay, or some sort of kli, and with that kinyan, purchase money? Okay, is that allowed? So he says, no problem, it's allowed. Midi dehave aperi l'Rav Nachman. Second, peri l'Rav Nachman. Right. Just like Rav Nachman says about peirot, peri l'Rav Nachman, af agav de'inu lo avde chalipin. Okay, so what did I say? There's a debate about whether you can, okay, so we're talking about two different things, right? There's one is, can you use it as the handkerchief? I'll use the handkerchief as the example because that's the most easiest for us to understand. Can you use money as a handkerchief? Okay, and there was a whole debate about that. And then we talked about, there was a debate also as regards to food items or other kind of payroll. Can you use them as a handkerchief? Okay, as a symbolic thing, or does it have to be a kli like a shoe? But now he says, even Rav Nachman, who's the one who holds, okay, we're really only going to get to Rav Nachman and the whole machloket there between him and Rav Sheshet on Daf Mem Zayin, so you'll see it tomorrow. But even Rav Nachman, who holds that you can't use peirot, it has to be an actual kli, you cannot use peirot to do a kinyan chalipin, but obviously, what does he hold, right? Lav af agav de'inu lo av de chalipin, ichnu ye mikne bo chalipin, but of course you can acquire it through a kinyan chalipin, right? If you want to buy fruits, can you lift a handkerchief as a siman that I'm buying the fruits instead of doing the hagbaha on the fruits? Let's say the fruits aren't here, you want to sell me your fruits. So if we do a kinyan on it with a handkerchief, obviously you can purchase fruits that way. So there should be no connection, basically, between the two machlokot, okay? The fruits proves it. Because if you say you can't do a kinyan chalipin with fruits, you can't use them as the handkerchief, but obviously you can acquire them through a handkerchief. So likewise, he says the money. Even if you say that you can't use the money as the symbolic act of kinyan, you can acquire money through a kinyan chalipin. So therefore, he says, Tivanami loshna, right? Therefore, matbeot should be no different. But now they're going to ask a question on him, and he's actually going to change his mind. Meitive. Haya omei bagorin, ve'em biyado ma'ot. Now we're talking about Maaser Sheni again. If you remember, what do you do with Maaser Sheni? You do pidyon. Now, if you remember, we didn't talk about this the other day, but we learned this a long time ago. When you do pidyon Maaser Sheni, you have to add a fifth. But there's very interesting halacha. It says, because it says in the pasuk, something in the pasuk which makes them derive that it's only if you do it yourself. If you take the Maaser Sheni yourself. Okay, I have to find the pasuk again. One second. Where is it? It's from the pasuk v'chamishuto Yosef alav. I'm thinking. No, it's v'yasaf chamishit keset erkacha alav v'kam lo. Okay, so they say, no, that's, one second, I forget where they derived it from. Anyway, they, sorry, where is it? I'm looking at the wrong, sorry, I was looking at the wrong place. Im ga'o yig'al ish mi ma'asro chamishuto yosef alav. I knew that was the end of the pasuk. Okay, so if your go'el from your ma'aser, then you have to add a chomesh. You have to add a fifth, which is really a quarter. Okay, because right, remember that whole thing about the quarter? It's when you look at all five parts, so it's a fifth. You know, you have a whole, you add a quarter, then you have one, that part is 1/5 out of the whole. So now what do we say? If your friend takes maaser for you, then what happens? Then you don't have to add a fifth. So this is like classic halacha, let's find a loophole. The rabbis recommend a loophole, right? What should you do? Have your friend take the maaser for you, and in that way, right, you can resolve your issue. So now let's say, what do you do really? You have money, right? You give your friend your money. You say, here, take my money. And, you know, I'll use this money to take the, right? I'm giving you all my money. You take my money. And now you do the maaser with the money. You flip it onto a coin. So, hayah omed bagoren, if he's standing in the goren, ve'ein biyado ma'ot, and he doesn't have money in his hands, okay? So let's say you can't do it with money because you have no money in your hands. Instead of giving him the money so that he can take the maaser for you with the money, so they say, in order to avoid this halacha, what can you do? Instead of giving him the money, little money, give him the fruits. Okay? Now, the chozer va'omer, and then he says, right? And then he can say, your payroll, which are not really your payroll, but you just got them a minute ago, right? He can say to his friend, your fruits, I'm going to be poed on a coin that I have in my house. Okay, now he's saying, I'll do the maaser sheni for you. Okay, even though it's really for him. So now, what can you derive from here? Tama de'im biyado ma'ot, right? The recommendation, obviously they prefer you keep the fruits, and give your friend the money, and he'll do the maaser sheni onto the coins. But in the event that you can't, because you don't have money on you, you use fruits. You give your friend the fruits. So now, what did we derive? Ein biyado ma'ot. Hayesh biyado ma'ot. Likni luhu li'idach b'mashicha. Uparik. Right? What should you do if you have the ma'ot? Give your friends the ma'ot. How's it going to be kona the ma'ot? Kinyan mashicha. He'll take the ma'ot into his property, right? Then he'll be kona the ma'ot. Dahachi adif, because that's clearly adif. Dahavele nochri. Because then the guy, why is it better? Because we'd rather have someone who's a foreigner, okay, like a nochri, they mean a foreigner, someone who's a stranger to these fruits, right? They want it to be somebody else. What's the problem with the case of saying, I'm going to use my ma'ot on your fruits? Okay, right, let's try to illustrate. It was my fruits. I give you my fruits, and then I say, well, the ma'ot in my house are going to go to that. That doesn't look like, in the end, it looks very clear that I'm fudging things, because in the end, I'm using my money. But if I give my money to somebody else, the money becomes theirs 100%, and then he takes the money and does maaser sheni on my fruits, then it doesn't look like, because also money is not as clear who the owner is, right? So it's less connected. And therefore, it looks more like it's somebody else doing the pidyon from his money on your fruits. So therefore, we'd much prefer to do it the money. So if we'd much prefer to do the money, what if you don't have money in your hands? If we can do a kinyan chalipin on money, right, meaning a symbolic act to acquire money, what's the difference if I have money in my hands or I don't have money in my hands? I could have money in my house and I could say, here, we're doing a kinyan with whatever item I have on hand, right, a handkerchief. We take my handkerchief, we lift it up, we say, my ma'ot that in my house are acquired to you. And now you can do the pidyon maaser sheni onto those ma'ot that are sitting in my house. They have your name on them now. Right? So therefore, what does it prove? That you can't do a kinyan chalipa with money, because if you could, we'd rather you do that than the fruits, than be makna the fruits. So let's read it inside. Iyamar ma'ban nikne b'chalipin, niknu le'ma'o laheach agav sudar, right? Sudar is a handkerchief. We should be makne the ma'ot to the other guy using a handkerchief. V'lifrok, and then the guy can do the maaser sheni on those ma'ot that are his. Okay, so what do they answer? Okay, so this proves, right? Right now we're disproving Rav Papa and saying, Rav Papa, you think you can acquire ma'ot with a kinyan chalipin? Clearly you can't, because otherwise this Mishnah would have suggested that that's what you should do. So what are they answering? Now, why did the Mishnah suggest it? Maybe delay le sudar? Maybe he doesn't have a handkerchief. Okay? So now they say, wait a minute. Even if he doesn't have a handkerchief, there's other ways you could do it. Nakninu niale agav karka. We've learned that you can do a kinyan, you can be machne someone land, and through that land, you can say, I'm giving you this land, and with this land, I'm giving you metaltalim. Or even you can give someone money that way. So why doesn't he just say to the guy, listen, I'm going to give you a little piece of my land. I'm going to, you know, give it to you right now. And with that, you'll acquire the money. So you could say, delay le karka. Maybe it's a case where he doesn't have money, land. Then they say, wait a minute, how may begorim? But he's sitting in his storage house. So if he's sitting in his storage house, he could take a part of his storage house and be machne to the guy. And with that, he could be machne the money and do it like that. So what do they answer? How may begorim katane? It says in the Mishnah exactly that. So what do they answer? Begorim she'eno shelo. Okay, you can assume that he's in, you can say that the case is he's in someone else's storage house. Okay, so until now we basically established that there's no way, by the way, this whole thing about karka wouldn't help us about our chalipin issue at all. That's just to tell us that there could have been another option. Right? So what we've done is we've taken this Mishnah, we've said, Rav Papa says you can buy money derech kinyan chalipin. We've showed that this Mishnah proves that you can't, because if you could, they would have done chalipin. Okay? Then they further ask, well, there could have been other ways he could have done it also, but they reject those two. So they say it was this strange case where a guy's in a goren chain of shiloh. He doesn't have land, he doesn't have anything, right? And he doesn't have a sudar. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'kapal tana lashmina gavra atilai delaytle velo klum? You're telling us that the Mishnah is coming to teach about some crazy, bizarre case where there's a naked guy in the goren who's got nothing on him? Like, what do you mean? He could take his shirt, he could take anything, he could take the guy's shirt off and say, I'm going to give you my shirt. In other words, it can't possibly be that the guy doesn't have any way to do a kinyan chalipin. And therefore, or if it is, let's say it is, where the guy's naked in the goren, okay, and he basically can't do anything. You're going to say the Mishnah is coming to teach us about some extreme case that would almost never happen? Yikavel is almost like the Tana is going to bend over backwards to start describing some bizarre case.
Also, okay. Why would he have to take truma on the fruit if it wasn't his goren?
No, it might not have been his goren, but he was using the goren to store his stuff. You know, he rented space in someone's storage house. Okay. Right? It wasn't, the storage house didn't belong to him, but the stuff was obviously his. No, but you can't. So first of all, you might say peiro, you can't use the chalipin. And also, the stuff is the maaser sheni. He has to put all the stuff into a coin. He can't start giving the stuff to the other guy. Well, I guess he... Right, it's his maaser sheni. He has to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. So he can't give that stuff to someone else. Anyway, what do we learn from here? Therefore, shma mina, eim mafe anasa chalipin shma mina. So we can clearly prove from here that he must have had something on him to be able to do a kinyan chalipin. And the fact that we don't suggest that, we say use the payroll, give the payroll to the other guy instead, and then use your own money for it instead of giving the guy the money and having him use his money to do the... So anyway, that's the suggestion, and therefore it proves a matbeana kneba chalipin. And now we see that Afar Papa, who held that matbeana kneba chalipin, remember his whole way of proving it. It was all since the payroll can't be used for chalipin, but can be acquired through chalipin, so the money must be the same. But now we say, even Rav Papa changed his mind. How do we know that? After Rav Papa Hadarbe, because we know a story with Rav Papa. What was the story? He had Rav Papa, we actually learned the story already. Havale tracer alfei dinare. He had 12,000 dinarim, Bechozai, in this far off place. Remember it? Bechozai. And what happened? He wanted to send his shaliach to get the money. What was the problem with sending his shaliach money to get the money? The guy who lives in Beit Chozai said, I'm not returning you the money through the shaliach, because what's going to happen? If he sends it through the shaliach, what's going to happen? The person who has the money with him is responsible until it gets back to his hands, Rav Papa's hands. Now, that's a very long journey. Lots of things could happen on the way. The guy could be mugged very easily. And he says, I don't want to assume responsibility. I'm not willing to give it to the shaliach. So the only way, so Rav Papa basically had no way to get his money back unless he was going to go himself. And I guess that wasn't an option. So what did he do? Akninu l'Rav Shmuel Baracha agav asefe debete. He was makne the money to Rav Shmuel Baracha, not through a kinyan chalipin, which would have been the easiest way to do it, right? What did he say? I'll give you part of the entranceway to my house. Okay, there's a bit of a debate what exactly the saf habayit is, but let's say the entranceway to the house. He gave him a little bit of a part of it, right? He was machnehim that, and through that he was able to machnehim the money. But if he could have used a kinyan chalipin, right, then he would have done that. And ki ata, this is just the end of the story, when he saw Rav Shmuel Baracha coming back with his money, napak la'ab pe'ad tfach. Okay, there's a bit of a debate whether he met him halfway, or tfach was the name of a place where he met him in that place, and as he knew he was coming, and he said, I'm so excited to get my money back. Okay. So here we have that in the end, you can't acquire money derech hakinyan chalipa. V'chein amar ula. Now we're back to the first issue. Okay, we're going a little bit back and forth. We're now back to, can you use money to do a kinyan chalipa? Can you use it as the handkerchief? V'chein amar ula. Ein matbea nase chalipin. V'chein amar Rav Asi. Ein matbea nase chalipin. V'chein amar Rabbi Bar Bachana. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ein matbea nase chalipin. Okay, three different misarot from different rabbis that you cannot use matbea to do a kinyan chalipin. By the way, these are all people. I'm noticing now. I wasn't noticing when I was learning it, but I'm noticing now that these are all people from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Ula was a little back and forth. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Asi was Eretz Yisrael. I wonder if there's a thing there. Okay, Etive Rabbi Abba Ula. So now Rabbi Abba asked Ula a question about this. If you're going to say the Eimat Be'an Aseh Chalipin, we have another question here. Okay? Here's a source. Hare Shayu Chamarav U'Po'alav Tovino Tobashuk. Okay, now a guy who has people who carry things for him and schlep them on, you know, the Chamar is the guy who carries stuff on the donkey, and his workers, so his people who, and as he has Po'alim that work for him, and he has Chamarim who work for him, again, Chamarim are the donkey riders, who carry the loads on the donkeys, or a donkey lead, you know, they lead the donkey. And he has to pay them food. He has to pay their, not just money, right? He has to pay them their wages, and he has to pay for their food. What happened? This guy didn't pay them. And his chamarav and po'alav were tovino tobashuk. They said, pay us the money that you owe us. V'amar l'shulchani, what happened? He didn't have cash on hand. So he says to the money changer, he's in the shuk, right? So there's a money changer there. He says to the guy, tain li b'dinar ma'ot va'afar nesem. Give me a dinar's worth of ma'ot, and I will give them their parnasa money. I'll give them food. V'ani e'elelecha yefe dinar utrisit. Mima'ot sheyesh li b'beti. And when I get home and I get to my money, I will give you... we'll see exactly how this translates. Yafed dinar, okay, a good dinar, and a tree seat. A tree seat is worth 3 isarim, okay? It's a little, there was a certain rate that a money changer used to take. You would change your money, and he would charge you a little bit more, but this is more than that, okay? This is a higher amount. So he's saying, I'll give you extra money, basically, okay? From moat that I have in my house. So, right, that's going to be the debate. Isn't this rebate? So im yesh lo ma'ot, if he really does have these ma'ot in his house, then it's mutar. Vim lav, but if he doesn't really have ma'ot in his house, he's just saying, from the money I have in my house, but he doesn't actually have money in his house, then it's asur, because then it's ribit. Okay? So now we're going to talk about how this works. Okay? Be'isal kadatach, ein matbe'an aseh chalipin, havilei halva'a va'asur. Okay, so now we're going to say, what's the difference? Exactly what you were saying, Aviva, that if you think that emat ben aseh chalipin, right, meaning that what are you doing basically? The guy's giving you money and you're going to pay him back later on with money plus, that's a loan and that's ribit. Ishtik. So Ula didn't answer. He didn't have a good answer. Okay? So now the assumption is that if it could have been a kinyan chalipin, then it's not going to be ribit. Because then what's he doing? He's purchasing money for a certain price. Right? People sell currency all the time. So you said, I'm willing to purchase money for a certain price. If we do a kinyan chalipin, what's the real issue of ribit? The issue of ribit is that you're paying for the time. You're paying for the fact that I need the money now. I don't have money now. I want you to give me money, you know, I'll give you money down the road. Okay? It's called hamtanat zaman. Okay? Right, there's a delay there in the paying of the money. If you do a kinyan chalipin, then there's no delay in the money. Why? Because as soon as he picks up this dinar, right, or they could do a kinyan chalipin on it, right? Or this money, and it's the money, when he picks up the dinar, the money is exact. It's making a kinyan chalipin for the money he has in his house. So he can then acquire the money he has in his house through this kinyan.
So he's both using ma'ot.
Although, right, then, right. So then, according to this, it would actually be both directions. You'd have to say, right, right. Elalav shmamina matbe'an asah chalipin v'nikneh b'chalipin, right? You'd have to, Rashi says that. You'd have to say both, okay? Because then you'd say both that would be Right, you'd have to say both in this case, even though we just proved that you can't buy a matbea with chalipim, but I guess according to this, they were still leaving that open. So now, what is he going to say here? Now they're going to answer up that this isn't really a case of ma'ot mamash, okay? We're going to say it's not a classic case of ma'ot and chalipim. Okay, well, the first answer is going to be that there is a kinyan chalipin here, and that's why it works, but only if he has the ma'od in his house, right? Because then the chalipin works. To basically, if there's no ma'od in his house, then you're not right. There's nothing that you're acquiring. So now what does he say? The first question was, if you say, then this is a halva'a, and even if you have money in your house, it should be forbidden. So now he answers, Dilma, Amarle, Dilma idi v'idi b'protitot shanu. Deleka aleim tiva. V'idi v'idi perehavu. Mishum hachi nikne b'chalipin. If you have money in your house, but now what are we saying? That all this money, both the money he was selling, and the money that he acquired, and the money that he was going to return to the guy, the money in his house, were both protitot. What are protitot? They were money without a tsura on them, okay? They weren't really money. We saw this. They weren't currencies that could be really used in the shuk, okay? In other words, they could be used, let's say, all the time. You know, maybe someone will take it, and then you have to question a little bit, well, how was he going to use that money then, right? Maybe he was buying this dinar, and he was saying, this dinar I'm going to now sell for the value of the, you know, the metal that was in the dinar, okay? The silver itself. And that's why it was nikneh b'chalipin, because it's peirot. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Amar le'in, and not only that, he says to him, oh yeah, you're right. Because the other guy says back to him, yeah, you're right, you could explain it this way. Why? Daikanami dekatani, we can prove it further from the lashon of the Mishnah. Yifei dinar utrisot. Okay, what does that mean? It says, I said we were going to explain this. Yifei dinar, v'lo katani dinar yafe utrisot. Shma mina. If it meant a good dinar, right, a good solid dinar, then it would have said dinar yafeh. Yafeh dinar doesn't mean the same as dinar yafeh. Dinar yafeh means a good solid dinar that was good coin. Yafeh dinar means maybe it was good like a dinar, but it wasn't exactly a dinar. Okay? It was a dinar without a tzuha on it. Shma mina. Okay, we're going to have a second answer now. Rav Ashi omer la'olam bidamim ubeprotitot. It's not that it was prototote, okay? Now there's two different explanations of what exactly this is, okay? One explanation is to say, here, let's just read it. Kevan de itle nase ke omer haveni ad shevo bani o ad shem tza mafteh. Okay, so according to this, just one second. One opinion is to say that, I'll go with Tosfot, it's a little simpler. Tosfot says, the issue with, if you remember this thing about Halveni Ad Shevo Bani O Ad Shem Tza Mafteh, let's start with that and we'll work backwards. We saw that in which case did it come up? In Se'ah B'Se'ah, right? Normally a loan is done with money. So a loan mi d'oraita is a money loan. A loan mi d'rabbanan could be, you know, where there'd be ribi d'oraita would be with money. If you loan Se'ah of wheat per se'ah of wheat. You say, okay, I'm lending you se'ah of wheat and you'll return me a se'ah of wheat. You remember we said you can't do that because there's a fluctuation problem. So midurabanan, that's a durabanan rebate case because it's not money, okay? It's only midurabanan. And we allow it because we say, if you have it, we allow it only in the case that you actually have a se'ah in your house and you say, I'll get it to you, right? I'll get you this thing. And it works because, Tosfot claims anyway, it works because it's only rebate durabanan. Now, our case should be ribi d'oraita in theory, right? If it's money for money. But what does he say? No. Ribi d'oraita is when you're lending something of one type for exactly the same type. You're going to return the same type of item. That's a loan. You're borrowing, right? What does a loan mean? You're borrowing something, you're going to return it. So I'm borrowing a certain type of money, I'm going to return that type of money. So comes Tosfot and he says that the case here is damim ubeprotitot. One of them was money, and one of them was prototot. In other words, so he was, you know, one wasn't really money. He was buying it for the currency. And because of that, the loan is only midrabanan. And because of that, if he has the money in his house, he could say, the money in my house is being kanoi to you now. And that works, and it's not a problem of rebate. Okay, that's Tosfot's reading.
Even though it's not the exact same, you don't have to return the exact same, you have to return...
If you're returning something that's a different mean, then it's only Rebit Midirabbanan. And once you drop it down to Rebit Midirabbanan, then if you have it in your house, then we can already say that it's not an issue of this time lag, because what you're really saying is whatever's in my house is kanoi to you now. And that, therefore, it's not a Rebit problem. Okay, and therefore, it has nothing to do with Kenyan Chalipin. There's no Kenyan Chalipin going on here. You follow? It's just that it's not Rebit because it's only Rebit Midirabbanan, and you already have the stuff in your house, so because of that, you can basically get around the issue, but not because of Chalipin at all. Okay?
It doesn't prove the case of Chalipin, whether you use that for Chalipin.
Exactly. It doesn't prove, right? It doesn't disprove what we were trying to say, right? We tried to say this disproves and says, oh, you know, Matbea can be Nasa Chalipin, and this just has nothing to do with Chalipin. I'm not going to get into Rashi now. Tosfot has a lot of problems with Rashi. That's why I kind of explained Tosfot, but it made more sense to me. Okay. Next. Tashma. So now we're going to have another question from this Mishnah in Kiddushin. Okay, another question on this. Can matbea nase chalipin? Ein matbea nase chalipin. Kol ha-nase damim ba-acher, kevan she-zacha ze nitchayev ze ba-chalipin. So what does this mean now? The Mishnah in Kiddushin, we're going to have the simple reading. Kol ha-nase damim ba-acher, meaning something that can function like money. Okay? Once one person was nitchayev, you know, was zoche to that, then nitchayev ze ba-chalipin. If I'm selling you something for something that's like functioning like money, right? Then, as soon as you give me that money, or the thing that's functioning like money, then it's already a kinyan chalipin. So that seems to prove, right? What's kol ha-naseh damim ba-acher, mainihu matbea? Right? Doesn't it sound, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, right? That is damim then, right? But they're saying, what functions like damim? Ah, matbea, okay? In other words, because why would it make sense to even call it that? Because a matbea is symbolic of money, right? So it's, the whole thing is symbolic. So therefore, shmamina matbea naseh chalipin. So now we're going to say no. And with this, we're going to have a few different ways of reading this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, hachi kamar. This is what it means. Kol hanishom damim ba'acher, kevan shezachazen d'chayezeh b'chalifav. Kol hanishom damim ba'acher means anything that we say, it's actually not money. It's something that functions like money in the sense that, what do we say? I want to buy something from you. Your thing is 100 shekel. So I go take some item in my house. We evaluate it that this item is worth 100 shekel, and I give you that item. That's what it's talking about, the Mishnah. So once I give you that item that I evaluated, it now has like a money tag on it. You know, it has a tag that says, this is evaluated by an evaluator at 100 shekel. When I give you that, it doesn't work like me giving you money, which wouldn't work, right? The money wouldn't be makneh kinyan chalipin, but the item that has a monetary, you know, price tag on it, that can function as a kinyan chalipin. And how can I even further prove this? The Gemara says, "Hachinami mistabra midekatani seifa." What does it say? The rest of that Mishnah, Ketzad. How does it work? Kol anishom damim bacher hichlif shor b'parau chamor b'shor shmamina. So there, it even says. And how does this work? If you take a shor and you switch it for a chamor, a shor for a parah, or a chamor b'shor, right? So meaning, it's talking about when you take an animal and you put a price tag on it and you use it for an exchange. So as soon as you get the animal, you're kona the item. That seems pretty obvious, right? So now the Gemara is going to have to say, well, what were you thinking in the first place? It was a matbea. If it says the halacha and then it says, well, what's the case of this halacha? Seems pretty obvious that the Gemara is telling you, the Mishnah is telling you that it's animals or items and not money. So lemai desalagadate meikara matbea mai. You know, if the guy what we thought in the beginning that it was a matbea. Sorry, I didn't read it right. Adate meikara matbea. The fact that they thought in the beginning that it was talking about a matbea. My ketsad. How does this ketsad work in with that? Hachi kamar. This is how they read it. Okay, look back at the board now. What did we say from the beginning? What's the obvious case of chalipin? A kli, not animals, right? So now, what's the chidush here of this ketzad? The Mishnah is telling you, uperi nami avde chalipin. Ketzad, echlif shor b'parau, chamor b'shor. So here's how the Mishnah reads. Not only can a kli be kone kinyan chalipin, but the Mishnah tells you, kol hana, what are the words? Kol hana asa damim ba'acher, which would be matbea, right? And then when it says ketzad, It's giving you an example that extends it even further, also to peirot. It's saying matbe and peirot are all part of the same thing, according to this. Right? We've been distinguishing, right? The second, with the rejected reading, you know, where they say no, it really means only peirot can work, but matbe can't work. This is saying matbe and even peirot can work. Okay. So now we say hanicha. That reading works well. L'Rav Sheshet. Damar peri avde chalipin. Remember, there's a whole machloket about peirot. So that reading of the Mishnah can only work according to Rav Sheshet. Ela l'Rav Nachman da'amar kli in aval peri lo avde chalipin. Okay, but Rav Nachman, who says a kli can work for chalipin, but peirot can't, my ketzad, how can he read this Mishnah? Hachi kamar. He reads it like this. In other words, now he can't read either reading. The first reading was peirot exclusively, not matbea. The second reading is peirot and, you know, matbea and even peirot. So how can Rav Nachman read the Mishnah at all then? Okay, so now we have a third reading of the Mishnah. You follow? So remember, the first reading of the Mishnah is, the way at least the Gemara translated first, it's really the second, but the first reading of the Mishnah is, it means an animal that you evaluated for money, you put a price tag on it. The second reading is it's money itself and even peirot. So now what's Rav Nachman going to say? Sometimes money can function as chalipin. What does this mean? Now notice what he's saying. This is a case where I gave you a para and you now owe me 100 shekel for the para. Now what happens? You say, you know what? Instead of paying you money, I'm going to give you my shor that's evaluated at 100. At that point, if I give you, that's a case of deme para or deme shor bepara, and that works, okay? This case will work. So even though maod are in kone and peirot is in kone, if I owe you money from a sale and I say that I'm going to give you the value of my animal for this sale, okay? Instead of the money I owe you, I'm going to give you an animal. That works. Now, why could this possibly work? It doesn't make sense. If he doesn't think maod or kone, he doesn't think my parrot or kone, how could this possibly work? So now we get to something very interesting. My time is to Rav Nachman. Savar laki Rabbi Yochanan. Damar. Dvar Torah maot konot. Okay, now all of a sudden we're getting into this machloka Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish about what's at the root of this halacha. According to Rish Lakish, we're going to see in a minute, Mida Oraita, we already know that Ma'od are not Kono. But Rabbi Yohanan says, really from the Torah, you can use money to affect a Kenya. Okay, and that comes from, that was where I quoted the wrong Pasuk before, that comes from the Pasuk, now I have to go find it, one second, that comes from the Pasuk, V'yasach hamishit kesef erkecha ala bekamlo. This is when you're buying hektesh. When you're taking hektesh, you're poda something to hektesh. You say, I want this to be for the Beit HaMikdash. But then you don't want to slip it to the Beit HaMikdash, right? Similar to the Maaser Sheni. You flip it onto a coin and you add a chomesh. And it says, V'yasach hamishit kesef erkecha. You add a chamishit of the, you know, the money value. V'kam alav. And it's already hektesh, right? So now what do you see? Ah, there is an effective kinyan with money. When you pay the, you know, you take out this chomesh, you basically you've been makne to the hektesh. So there is a kind of kinyan with money. So therefore, comes Rabbi Yochanan says this applies across the board. It's not unique to hektesh. Dvar Torah ma'ot konot umipnei ma'amru mashicha kone. But in other words, ma'od or konot bechalipin. But why did they say that you need to do mashicha? What's the problem? If I give you money, and we say that, what was the whole thing of our Mishnah, right? You give money to someone, that's not an effective kinyan. Okay? Forget about chalipin. This doesn't actually really relate to chalipin. But if I give you money for an object, right? So now, I've paid you the money. Right? Whether it's chalipin, whether it's regular, whether it's, you know, the exact amount that I owe you. At that point, I paid you money for something. You still have the item in your property. What happens? Who's responsible for that item? So if we say the kinyan was a good kinyan, like the fiat Torah, what's going to happen? The stuff that's in your property right now that I bought is now mine. But it's in your property. So what's going to happen? Gzera shema yomrulo nisrefuchi techabalia. What if your whole storage house starts going on fire? You're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to try to save this stuff because it's not even mine. Why should I bother? So therefore, what did they say? If I pay the money and I don't get my item yet, there's no kinyan. So that way you take care of my stuff. Otherwise, you're going to start absolving yourself of responsibility, because technically, halakhically speaking, you're absolved of responsibility. If you're absolved of responsibility, if it's in your house, all sorts of things could happen and you won't take care of it. So therefore, we made a gzera. Now, why does this have to do with anything? Still, it's not allowed, right? Still, it doesn't work. But what did they say? This case of demei para b'shur is not a common case. Usually, if I sell you something, I pay you money for it. This is, by the way, interesting, right? Because what's this saying? Before we talked about that the barter system must have been very common. Now they're saying after the opposite. Usually, you pay the money. In the case where you say, listen, instead of paying the money, I'm going to give you the value of my, I'm going to give you my animal, which is valued the same as the money, is a less common occurrence. And therefore, since it's a less common occurrence, there's no gzera midrabanan. And therefore, since there's no gzera, in that case, maor dekono. Okay? So that's how he explains the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is this, you know, less common case, and because it's a less common case, there's not going to be a gzera, and because of that, it works. But generally, we don't allow, you know, we don't allow money to be acquired. You know, the money doesn't affect the kinyan. Okay. Well, the Rish Lakish. Now we're going back. So now we have three explanations of this Mishnah. So the Rish Lakish tamar mishicha mefureshet min haTorah, hani chayisavar lakei Rav Sheshet, mitaritz lakei Rav Sheshet. If Rish Lakish holds like Rav Sheshet, so he can explain it the way Rav Sheshet did the earlier reading of the Mishnah. Ela isavar lakei Rav Nachman damar leperi lo avdei chalibin umatbea lo kane. Right? If he holds like Rav Nachman, he says peri lo avdei chalibin ematbea lo kane hecha mitaritz. How can he explain this Mishnah? Because he can't explain it the way we just did according to Rabbi Yochanan, because he thinks the maoro enon kono. So therefore, what do they answer? Oh, what they're basically saying is Rish Lakish can only side with Rav Sheshet. He can't possibly hold like Rav Nachman. You follow that? That's I'll go circular. Because Rish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to are ma'ot konot min haTorah or not, right? Are ma'ot konot or not, right? So according to Rish Lakish, Meshicha is the only thing that's konot. Ma'ot einam konot. Therefore, he's affected in how he reads this Mishnah. That affects, let's say it like this. Because of this Mishnah, there's only two ways to explain the Mishnah. Either like Rav Sheshet or like Rav Nachman. And you know, either you say it that Madbea and Peirot can be Kone, and that works. Or you say Madbea can't be Kone, but then you have to say, why does it work here? Because he holds like Rav Yochanan. So Rish Lakish can't possibly hold like that because, right? You know, he can't. If he holds like Rav Nachman, the Ma'od and Perot aren't Konot, then he can't explain the Mishnah in any normal way. So he must hold like Rav Sheshet that basically says the Perot are Konot, but Ma'od are not Konot. Okay? So he's stuck. In other words, because of this Mishnah, it makes him stuck that we can't possibly assume that he holds, there's no way to explain Rish Lakish in the issue of Ma'od Konot and the issue of Rav Nachman about what can be used as a kinyan chalipin. Those two machlokot now have to be intertwined. Rish Lakish can only hold like Rav Sheshet. Okay. Tanan. Okay. Now we're going to use our Mishnah. Okay. We're going to bring in our Mishnah here. What does our Mishnah say? Kol mitaltelin konim ze et ze. Okay. What does that mean? Right. Remember, kol mitaltelin, all mitaltelin can acquire ze et ze. Now, if you remember, it said Zeha Klal, right? Or there was a bit of a debate whether it says Zeha Klal or not. But the assumption here is that line must come to include something because it's a pretty obvious line at this point in the Mishnah. So, Va'amar Rish Lakish, Va'kifilu Kis Malei Ma'ot, Bekis Malei Ma'ot. Okay, what does he say? You can even use a bag full of money to acquire a bag full of money. Okay, in which case, right, this is again, what does it sound like? A Matbea can be, right, can be used for chalipin and can be acquired through chalipin. So tirgama Rav Acha bedinar anka va'anigra echad shepasaltom melchut ve'echad shepasaltom medina. It must be talking about two different types of coins, dinarim, one that was canceled by the malchut and one that was canceled by the medina. So in other words, when he says even a kis malei ma'ot with kis malei ma'ot, he must be talking about a type of, right, a type of coin that's no longer in circulation, utzricha. And why do you need both? Why does it need to be these two different kinds? De'iash me'inan psalto machut, Here we're going to see the difference between if pasal to malchut, what do we say? Mishum de lo sagi klal. Once the malchut cancels it, it can't be used at all. Aval pasal to medina. Now, what's pasal to medina? It means that the people decided they're not going to use this anymore, as opposed to the government deciding. Okay, so pasal to medina de sagi le b'medina achrite. In other words, the pasal to medina is not as batel from being a matbea because you can use it in some other country. In other words, maybe you can't use it where you are because the people aren't willing to use it. But the malchut didn't cancel it. You could use it in some other area. And therefore, Ema kate matbea, who you might have thought it's still somewhat considered a matbea, would be judged like a matbea, not metaltalin. That's why you need to teach you that. Ve'e matbea nikne bechalipin. Ve'iash me'inam psalto medina. And if you just had the case of psalto medina, what might you say? Psalto medina is unique because mishum de lo sagile lo betzin of a lo befer hesya. You can't use a psalto medina in private or in public. Aval psalto machut, because why? Because the people aren't interested in using it. The people canceled it. So if you do an internal trade between you and a friend, you can't use that because it's the kind of coin that nobody's willing to use. But psalto machut, but if the government cancels it, so maybe you can't use it in the shuk, like on the street. But people still sometimes use it in between, like internal transactions. Think about it. They had all these coins. They wanted to use them for something. So people would still use them somewhat. And therefore, you would say, and therefore, it's tzrichin. Okay, so you might have thought that since these are both potentially matbeot, that it wouldn't work. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. We can go on a little bit more. Let's go on a little bit more. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna. Mechur li be'elu, kana, v'yesh alav ona'a. Okay, if somebody's holding ma'ot, and he says to his friend, sell me what you have with the money I have in my hand. Okay? Kana. Now, what does this mean? It means the guy's holding money in his hands. The guy who's he's purchasing it from has no idea how much money is in his hands. And the guy says, sure, I'll sell it to you for that money. So what do we say? Kana. Okay? He gets the chepetz, and that works, and no side can change their mind about it, even though they didn't, right? In other words, the assumption is the guy could say later, wait a minute, I didn't know this is how much money you were offering me. You understand? I come with a pile of money. I say, sell me this stuff I want to buy this with the money in my hand. The guy's like, okay, no problem. So what do we say? You can't be chozer bo, but yesh alav ona'a. But there is a halacha of ona'a. What is ona'a? It means that if I gave you less than one-sixth, like I gave you less than one-sixth of its, let's say it was, worth 24, okay? So one-sixth will be 4, and I gave you 19 coins instead of 20 or 21 or 22, right? There's an assumption that within a one-sixth of a range, I'll be mochel. Okay, or you'll be mochel as the seller. But if it's less than that, then the guy can say, oh, wait a minute, I wasn't planning to do this sale for less than a sixth of what it's worth. I can't think of how to say it right. Not less than a sixth of it, but if you reduce the price by more than a sixth. Okay? Af agav delo mashach, even though there wasn't a kinya meshifa. Okay? Dekevan delo kapid kana. This is like a Kenyan Chalipin, even though you didn't take the object yet. Now here's Rav Huna, and he comes and says, even though Mo maybe aren't Kone B'Chalipin, in this case, where the guy was willing to take any price, clearly he didn't care, and clearly he was willing to do the Kenyan, and it's effective Kenyan, and he's Kone. Unless what? He gives him so much less that, right, that it's not going to be good. But why does he have din ona'a? Because he said, now once something gets in the realm of mechira, because he said mechorli be'elu, then it's a sale, and then there's regular dine ona'a. Rav Abba Amar Rav Huna, but a different reading of Rav Huna is like this: mechorli be'elu kana ve'ein lo alav ona'a. And he doesn't even have din ona'a, because if he was willing to take it without even counting the money, clearly he didn't even care if there was ona'a. He had no concern whatsoever. Okay, I'm going to end with just two different explanations of this whole thing about ona'a. I'm going to get into ona'a further down, you know, through this parrot. Some people say that ona'a only applies in a sale and not an exchange. Okay, this is an exchange, basically, right? So therefore, there's a machloket by us because it's an exchange, but he used the lashon of mechira. You follow? It's an exchange because no one counted any money. Like, the money was more symbolic, right? It was a bag of money. So that's one way of reading this, that ona'a is only in a mecher, not an exchange. This, because it's an exchange, if they use lashon of mecher, there's a debate. Where does it fall? Is there ona'a? Is it not ona'a? Some people say no. Some of the Rishonim say there is, okay, the Ran says this, there is ona'a in an exchange. But here it's different. Why? This is not a typical exchange. This is an exchange where both sides made it very clear that they didn't care about the price. They didn't care about the value because nobody counted anything, right? The guy had some money. He said, sell me for this, you know. Okay, so therefore, they basically, according to the Ran, they waived their rights. Okay, so in other words, there should have been din ona'a, but because, right, so there is din ona'a when it comes to exchange. However, in this case, they waived their rights because they said they didn't care. It's like a good example of where the Gemara gives a particular type case, and from that case, the Rishonim try to come to conclusions. Is there ona'a in exchange? Is there not ona'a in exchange? Right? And how do we take this case and learn from it a klal? And as often, there's debate about it because we're basically taking a case and they're trying to see, based on the details of this case, how would it apply to a regular case? How is this case different? And that affects how they view, you know, general halacha.